Today in this homily, I'm not actually going to be reflecting on the scripture readings. They're quite powerful readings, but I do have another topic that I'd like to speak to. This was prompted in part by a set of research that was done rather recently. It was the Pew Research, which studies religion and religious themes and realities in the United States. And they did a study about U.S. Catholics and our belief in the Holy Eucharist. And they put out this survey, and in the midst of the survey, they were asking about, you know, belief in the Eucharist, and things kind of came down onto two sides of how people said that what they believed in as Catholics when it came to the Eucharist. There was one group that said that they believed that when we talk about the Eucharist, we're talking about the real presence of Jesus in the sacrament. The bread and the wine is transformed substantially into the body and the blood of Christ. There was another group, however, of people who agreed with the statement. They said that what we see in the Eucharist is a symbol of Jesus' presence, and that it should be understood in this more symbolic sort of terms. Now, when they broke down the numbers on this, they found out that about 31% of U.S. Catholics thought that the Eucharist was really the body and blood of Jesus, and about 69% had come to the conclusion that this, or would agree with the statement and say that it was a symbolic representation of Jesus in the Eucharist. So just to be really clear on this point, the teachings from the Roman Catholic Church are very clear about what they say with the Eucharist. They say that there's a substance transformation, that the Eucharist, when the bread and the wine are consecrated at the altar, there's a substantive change that happens here, that it truly becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And so it is a symbol, right? Sacraments are symbols. But it's much more than that. It's much more than that. So it would be true to say that as Catholics, this is our faith, this is what we hold, that when the bread and the wine are transformed, consecrated, they become substantially the body and the blood of Jesus Christ present among us. So hearing this and encountering this has, of course, given pause to a lot of people, myself included, in recognizing this. From a certain point of view, however, I'm not really surprised. Disappointed in many ways, certainly, but not really surprised. When we look through the scriptures, all the way back to really the teaching of Jesus himself, we see that there are people who have a hard time getting behind this teaching. One of the most important passages about this in the entire scriptures, John chapter 6, right? John chapter 6, Jesus says that I am the bread of life. You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood or you have no life. You will not have life within you. But those who do eat and do drink will have eternal life. This is the teaching of Jesus in John chapter 6. Well, at the end of that chapter, many of the disciples of Jesus, they said to one another, they said, this teaching is too hard. Who can withstand it? And they stopped following Jesus. Jesus, in response to this, turns to the final little core of his apostles and the core of disciples that are still there. And he simply looks at them and he says, will you also leave? St. Peter speaks on behalf of them and says, no, Lord, you have the words of eternal life. But notice where Jesus stands on this, right? At the end of this, even when people are walking away, he doesn't turn to the apostles and say, oh, that didn't go very well. Maybe I should, you know, change this or something. He's stood his ground. Will you leave also? Because this is where I'm standing. Okay. So what can we do with this? What I'd like to offer is two areas, I think, of important witness we have in regards to the Holy Eucharist. The witness of the Scriptures and the words and the actions of Jesus Christ that we find in the Gospels. So that's one. And then I'd also like to take a look at the witness of the church and the living faith that we find among us here in our practice of devotion before the presence of the Lord in the Holy Sacrament. So let's talk a little bit about this witness, first of all, from the Scriptures, right? There's a couple of Scripture passages that are very powerful, and I think we need to be very aware of them and let their power speak to us through knowing these stories. And the first one I've already mentioned a little bit is the Gospel of John, chapter 6. It's a lengthy gospel, and in this chapter, Jesus is speaking to the people, and he has his famous Bread of Life discourse. He's talking to the people, teaching them, answering their questions, and in this teaching, he says three times, he says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And each time it becomes sort of more emphatic in the way that he says it. I am the bread of life. You must eat of the flesh and the blood, right? Those who eat and drink will have eternal life, right? Those who do not will not have eternal life. And the people there in the story, like, they're put off by this. They're, quite frankly, disgusted by this. And, guys, we have to be realistic here. It's strange language that's being used here. We're so used to it as Catholics that we've forgotten how strange and disturbing it is to hear this sort of language. Someone to say, eat my body, drink my blood. What is this, like cannibalism and being a vampire? And like, I mean, it's very strange language. And the people, when they hear this, they're hearing this and they're not over-spiritualizing it. They're understand. There's a level of disgust. And I think we need to also recognize the shocking way that this language comes across for us as Catholics, and how it should put us off balance a little bit when we think about it. It shouldn't just be normal. As I said, when we reflect on this passage, we see that Jesus says three times, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Now, there are a lot of other passages especially in the Gospel of John, where Jesus says things like, I am. I am the door. I am the way and the truth and the life. So you might, some have argued and said, well, this whole business of Jesus saying, I am the bread of life should be read symbolically, right? The same way that you might read, I am the door, or I am the way, right? Could be read symbolically. But again, we see in this Jesus' actions, he repeats it so emphatically, and he becomes so detailed in his description of it. It doesn't seem to be falling into that same sort of category. And again, he draws the line. Will you also leave? So Jesus is taking this very seriously. Let's look at another scripture. This is Jesus at the Last Supper. And there at the Last Supper, Jesus is there with his disciples, and he gives them the bread and the wine, and he says, take and eat, take and drink. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood. Now, he could have said, this symbolizes my body, or this represents my blood, right? There are plenty of good words for that, right? You can probably come up with a half a dozen of them, but that's not what Jesus says. He says, this is my body. This is my blood. Some, when they've trying to interpret this passage, focus in especially on the words of the Last Supper where Jesus says, well, do this in remembrance of me. And they might focus in and say, well, look at what's really going on here. Jesus knows that he's about to die the next day, so he gives them this meal, and he says, do this in remembrance of me, so that we can remember. It's a kind of a symbolic thing to be able to remember Jesus's his life and the way he impacted his apostles. And I've heard people talk about the Last Supper this way, right? Often pretty, they're not interested in talking about the Eucharist. They're kind of, but they'll talk about it and they'll say, well, it's a remembrance meal. So therefore there's kind of symbolism that's happening there. Certainly there's that, right? Jesus certainly speaks about the remembrance that he wants to have happen. Do this in remembrance of me. However, you're going to seriously misunderstand this passage if you forget to look at one of the other important words that Jesus says in the Last Supper. He says, take and drink. This is the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. That word right there. That word is so powerful in the scriptures. The word covenant means this binding connection with God, right? And what's more, how are the covenants sealed? How does this always happen throughout the scriptures? How is it that they seal the covenant? There must be a sacrifice with blood, and then the sacrifice will be given to God, right? Think about the sacrificial lamb, right? It's done. You have to kill the lamb. And then they would take the blood, and that becomes sprinkled on there to be able to symbolize the covenant. But then what happens next? You eat of the sacrifice. You eat of the sacrifice. This is what binds the covenant together with God and his people. Is it a memorial meal? Yes. Yes, it is. But if you ignore this word of covenant and the entire context that that brings with it in this, you have seriously, gravely misunderstood what it is that Jesus was intending when he said, do this in remembrance of me. His words, again, this is my body. This is my blood. Take and eat and drink to be part of this new covenant. Okay, let's circle back to this. What can we do with this, I guess we should say? What can we do when we have this realization, this sort of witness of how it is that we can be able to speak about the Eucharist and the power of the Eucharist? Because what I'd like to share with y'all is just a little story as well about the way that we can be able to live this out, not merely through the scriptures. I said we wanted to talk about the witness of the scriptures, but also through the witness of our actions and our devotion that we have here in the church. Let me share with you all just a little story. This comes from my own life. And this goes back to when I was just a small child and I was receiving my first Holy Communion, right? If you had asked me, when I was 7, 8 years old, you know, is this bread, you know, that we use at the Mass, is this, you know, when it's consecrated, is this the body of Christ? Well, I was pretty well catechized. I'd gone to the classes and studied it. So I said, yeah, that's what that is. If somebody had said to me, you know, the chalice, is it, it's filled with the blood of Christ, I would have said, yeah, the blood of Christ, that's what it is. I knew how to be able to. I knew the right catechism, right? However, at least at the time of my first Holy Communion, I was just saying the words. I didn't really understand it. I mean, I was only 7 at the time, so what do you expect, right? When I think back on my first communion, I can remember, I don't remember that moment of receiving the Holy Communion. I don't remember that it had a big impact on me. I don't remember feeling a moment of prayer and awe that I was receiving the Lord. I remember that I was wearing a little suit and a nice little white tie, you know, for my first Holy Communion, but I don't remember being impressed by the Eucharist. But I do remember the day when it did happen. It was probably about a year or two later, and my family had gone to a little prayer service at one of the churches, and they were having Eucharistic adoration. That's where they have the consecrated bread, the Eucharist, placed up at the altar in a monstrance so that it can be seen. And it's like that moment in the Mass where the priest holds up the host and says, "Behold the Lamb of God," right? They place it up in the altar so that people can have an extended period of time of praying and adoration before Jesus in the Eucharist. Behold, so there it is. There's the Lamb of God. So we were praying there, and of course I wasn't really that deeply touched by this because I hadn't understood what it meant by the Eucharist. But there was something that happened that day. There was an old man. I don't know who he is. I don't know who he was. There was an old man who was there at adoration that day. And while he was at the adoration, he wanted to come up and he was going to pray in front of the altar. So he got up and he walked up in front of the altar and he went to genuflect in front of the altar. And this was hard for him because he was an old man, I can tell right away. But this was not easy for him to be able to get up and down. But he was dedicated to do it. So he turns and he's right there and he kneels down on one knee and then on the second. And then he goes all the way down. He goes all the way down to the point where he's placed his face onto the ground in front of Jesus there at the altar. I got it. I understood what it meant to say that Jesus is present with us in the Holy Sacrament. So what do we do with this? We have the witness of the Scriptures. We have our devotion, the way that we can be able to inspire, be inspired by the way that we see the Holy Eucharist. Well, I think from here, we need to be able to say, how can we be able to put this into practice, right? How can we be able to put this into practice? And I say that with a strong amount of confidence because when we look at this, these statistics that I was talking about before, right? We know that there's about, it was about 30%, right? About 30% of people who really would assent and say, yeah, that's exactly what we mean by the Eucharist, you know? I would also share with you another little statistic that goes along with this. This is actually not so much a statistic, it's just sort of a rule of thumb that has been true for me and for most other priests that I know. Is they'll say that when you get into a parish and you count up all the people that are part of your parish, all the Catholics that are part of your parish, about a third of them will come to Mass every week. About a third of them will come to Mass sometimes. And about a third of them you probably will never see the entire time that you're there. And that's just kind of a rule of thumb. And I found that to be true in the parishes that I've worked at in different places. So if I were to make a guess, I would guess that third of the church that comes to Mass on a regular basis and the 30% of people who believe in the Eucharist, those groups probably overlap quite a bit, I would say, you know? Which means that, yeah, probably for many of the people who are here would strongly assent and be able to say, yeah, yeah, that's what's present here in the Eucharist, right? We then, especially when we do find that, convicted by that faith in Jesus' presence in the Eucharist, we have both the responsibility and the opportunity to share the good news. This is good news. That the Lord Jesus remains with us in this sacrament, that we can be able to come to him. And I would charge and say we should know well and be able to speak well about these stories from the Scriptures that talk about the Eucharist, so that when we speak about it, we can be able to speak with the power of these stories. I think we also need to speak through this through our actions. You come up and come to be able to receive the Holy Communion. Come up reverently and full of joy and expectation of the gift that you're going to receive. If you can't be able to come up and receive the Holy Communion, come up and receive the blessing, right? Make a spiritual act of communion to come and be part of it. When we come to Mass, do we come the best prepared that we can be. I know sometimes we have up days and down days, but we come the best that we can prepare to be here to be able to show that we have this great love and devotion for the Lord who remains with us and comes to us and dwells within us in this holy sacrament. Right? That old man in the story that I told you, I have no idea who he was. He had no idea who I was. And he will not know, maybe until heaven, what impact he had on my life. And we don't know who is going to be sitting next to us or down the row from us in church or overhearing us when we talk. That we can be able to witness, especially to our brothers and sisters, of the good news of Jesus Christ who remains with us in the most blessed sacrament.